Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please read together with me the title of our sermon that Mr. Mahan knew already here in the children's message. What are you waiting for? Our gospel reading from Luke 2, especially verse 25, which says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel." Can you name the one activity that we all have in common, but most of us simply don't enjoy? Oh, there might be a few of them, but one of them is waiting. We wait at the airport. Let me tell you, Beverly and I just got back. We wait at the border to get across. This was the record, I think, of waiting for us to get over there. We wait at the post office. We wait at the hospital. We wait at a red light. Husbands usually wait for their wives in front of the bathroom mirror. Oh, but lest you laugh, wives wait for their husbands and wondering when will they ever get the remote. After the next game, and then the next game, and the next game, maybe then you'll do it. Waiting. Something we don't always enjoy, but something that's often quite necessary. But we're all waiting for God, in one way or another. We're waiting for Him to act. We're waiting for Him to heal our loved ones. We're waiting for Him to change something. And quite often, when His timing is not our timing, we wait, and we are tempted into turning waiting into something less and something else than waiting with faith in God. Some would change waiting into passivity. Oh, there's nothing I can do about it, so I guess I'll just wait. But waiting for God is not like sitting in a dark movie theater waiting for the picture to begin. This kind of waiting in God can just be a pious excuse for spiritual laziness. No, waiting for God is like waiting for the arrival of an honored guest. There are preparations we need to make. And as we wait for God to act, we seek to be obedient, to do what we know God wants us to do, and what is in our power to do while we wait for God's final solution. Other exchange waiting for useless action. Oh, I'm tired of waiting on God, so I'm just going to turn to an immediate source of relief, immediate source of hope, maybe just an immediate source of a little happiness, like perhaps alcohol or even drugs, unhealthy relationships, giving in to a crazy busy kind of life that makes me run like a chicken with my head cut off so I can't even pause to think or to pray. Something, anything to give me even a temporary relief of some kind of hope. And still others waiting for God may create their own God. While discussing the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," Martin Luther said this: "What is a God? A God is whatever we fear, love, and trust above everything else. A God is whatever we look to for our highest good. So if we are tired of waiting on God to give us what we think we need, we can look to our own homemade gods as substitutes. Gods like small g gods, like possessions, finances, human relationships, sports, work, personal status, reputation, even religious activities. But these homemade false gods can't save us, can't deliver us. And too often these homemade gods put burdens upon us that do not deliver real and lasting hope. My friends, I'm here today, just before New Year's Eve, just before the first day of 2019, can you believe it? I'm here on the first Sunday after Christmas to tell you that our dear Lord Jesus Christ is the only true and lasting source of real hope. And it was for him. It was for him that two people in our gospel lesson waited today, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna waited, and they served in hope. Who were they, and why were they waiting? Listen to Luke again. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a nickname for the Messiah. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came to the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms. And he blessed God and said, "Now, O Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." And later, Luke records these words. There was also in the temple Anna. She was of great age. She had lived with a husband for 7 years, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God night and day. And coming into the temple, at that instant she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke about Jesus to all who waited for the redemption of Jerusalem. Another nickname for the Messiah. Simon, a devout and faithful man, was looking for the promised Messiah whom he called the consolation of Israel. Now, tradition tells us he was an old man, but the text doesn't give us his age. We just learned that God revealed to him he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And now Simeon is holding the baby Jesus. And he holds him in his own arms and says, "Here is the Lord's salvation. And now, Lord, I'm ready to depart and die in peace." And Anna, for that time, was a woman of great age, well over 80 years. She was a widow that could be seen about the temple doing all kinds of things, always there, serving and helping. Probably some people turned to Anna and said, "Do you live here?" Now, every congregation has an Anna or two in their congregation who seems to be always here doing something for someone as they wait for the Lord. Now, I won't mention anybody's names to embarrass them, Gretchen Schellenberg, but we all have Annas in our various congregations who seem like they live at God's temple. But as soon as Anna sees the baby Jesus in Simeon's arms, she told anybody who would listen to her, "The salvation of Israel has arrived." As Simeon and Anna waited, they were not passive. They were not lazy. They would never bear the title of old and useless. How upset we should be these days, my friends, when anybody refers to one of our elders as old and useless. Anna and Simeon were anything but. They served others in need. They worshiped the Lord. They prayed. They taught the younger generation about the truths of God and proclaimed his Messiah to all who would listen. And then God came, not as they expected. Who knows what they were expecting, but certainly not a frail little baby in the arms of poor parents who brought him to Jerusalem to get him circumcised and to have him named. But it didn't take long for Simeon and Anna to learn that this baby was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. Yet you wonder if Anna and Simeon said to each other and somebody else, "Well, this really is not what we expected." My friends, and here's where the sermon changes from a history lesson to application to our everyday lives. My friends, God comes to us today, and often in ways we wouldn't expect. We may pray, "God, please come and bring me inner peace," but he comes with yet another challenge to make our faith grow. We may pray, "God, come and bring healing." But he may come at the bedside of our loved one and say, "Not yet, not yet." We may pray, God, come and change this situation I find myself in. And he comes and changes not the situation, but he changes us in a far better way than we could ever expect. Now, here's an important question for each of us today. Can we recognize God coming in a way we don't expect? Can we recognize his coming at the cross as well as his coming at the cradle? Can we recognize his coming at the cross of Calvary as well as the stable in Bethlehem? That is to say, can we recognize God's coming in our lives in times of pain and hardship as well as times of peace and comfort? Simeon did. And he said, I have seen and held God's salvation, and Lord, I'm ready to depart in joy and peace, no matter what this sinful world throws at me. Now, Simeon also said to Mary, Jesus' mother, these words, recorded in Luke 2:35. He said, Mary, this son of yours will pierce your soul also. That is to say, Jesus' suffering for the sins of the world and his crucifixion will bring you, Mother Mary, great pain. My friends, to you, Jesus comes in this new coming new year and in every moment of your life. He comes not just as a baby at peaceful Christmas Day, but also as the Savior who knows your pain and knows your sorrow. He will be with you through the thick and thin of the 364 other days of the year, not just on Christmas Day. He comes to give you and me a foretaste of the eternal feast in heaven for which all of us wait. Now, can we serve him while we wait? We're in this in-between time waiting. He came at Christmas. He's coming at the end of the world. What do we do as we wait? Can we serve him? Simeon and Anna did. They knew that this Lord Jesus Christ would buy and claim their entire lives. They knew he had come to redeem them from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. And they served him daily with their lives by their words and their deeds. They dedicated their lives. Can't you see old Simeon and Anna proclaiming Jesus the Messiah to anybody that they met? Today, a word of challenge to each of us to say, Lord, how would you have me serve you as I wait? In what area of my life, dear Lord, do I need to be obedient to you? Dear Lord, I want to make some changes in my life. I am willing to do, Lord, as I wait, whatever you want me to do. My friends, this sounds like a wonderful New Year's resolution to me. The famous old Italian painter named Giotto created a masterpiece painting picturing the scene in the gospel lesson with Simeon holding the baby Jesus. The painting is entitled The Presentation in the Temple. I encourage you to go home if you're a Googling kind of person. Now, in my generation, we sang of Barney Google with the goo-goo googly eyes. And now we Google on a computer. But if you're a Googler, go home and Google in The Presentation in the Temple by Giotto. You'll see a beautiful picture of this Italian painter. In this painting, Simeon holds the baby Jesus. Simeon's lips are moving below his flowing beard with the famous words, Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Giotto knows his Simeon, but he also knows his babies. The baby in this painting is far from just resting peacefully in the arms of the stranger. He's reacting like all babies react when they're held by a stranger. His dark eyes squinting, his hands reaching up for his mother Mary. Oh, Giotto knows his babies. But Giotto also knows the truth of this moment. As the baby reaches away from Simeon to Mary, we observe that this child is now suspended right over the temple altar. The temple altar where animal sacrifices were made and their blood were shed to pay for the sins of the people. Giotto declares in this painting that this holy little child in Simeon's arms is a part of God's plan from the beginning. He is the eternal sacrifice for the sins of all people. The wait is over, says Giotto's painting. He has arrived. My friends, today we wait. We wait in a world of sin and death. And Jesus comes to us today. He comes to us not just in the peace of Christmas Day, but also in the pains and challenges of heartaches of every day of our lives. And one day, oh, one day he will return at the world's end. And he will bring us to himself in heaven, and there will be an end to sin, an end to sickness, an end to death and dying, and the beginning of the eternal joys of heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We can hardly wait. In the name of Jesus, amen.